Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We are so glad you joined us to worship this morning. If this is the first time you are joining us to worship, welcome. Please take a moment to complete the online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. For the month of October, we are starting a new sermon series called Christian Atheist. Yes, Christian Atheist. I'm sure you probably heard about the term atheist, right? It is someone who does not believe in the existence of God. But what does it mean to be a Christian atheist? Is it possible? Well, come and join us in October so that we can find out more and let's explore together. As we enter the last quarter of 2021, I would like to remind all parents that our Kapos children worship will still be conducted online. And for children from grade 1 to grade 5, our Kapos online worship will be at 9:15 a.m. every Saturday. So if you are new to Koinonia and have not registered your kids to Kapos yet, I would like to encourage you to using the QR code right on the screen to help your kids to register for Kapos online. And if you have any question about our children's worship, you are welcome to contact Pastor Ava using the email provided right on the screen. As we prepare ourselves to worship and receive His Word, let me invite you to stand. October is the month of Thanksgiving. Let's use Psalm 100 to give thanks to our Lord. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Let's serve the Lord with gladness. Let's come to His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people. We are the sheep of His pasture. Let's enter the gate with thanksgiving, and let's enter His court with praise. Let's give thanks to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His steadfast love endures forever, His faithfulness to all generations. Church, let's come and worship the Lord together.
Every chain will break as broken hearts declare His praise. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him. So open up the gates, make way before the King. The God who comes to save is here to set the captives free. For who can stop the Lord Almighty? Our God is the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. The sins of the world, His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before Him. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Stop the Lord Almighty. stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles, and every knee will bow before Him. Our God is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. His blood breaks the chains, and every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb, and every knee will bow before
Him. Every knee will bow, we bow before, we bow before you, Jesus.
Bring and lives that death may die.
Will belong to you forever.
King above all kings. Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. Jesus, the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords, the one who died to bring eternal life, the one who overcame death. Who else can we put our hope in? Jesus Christ is the one that we can put our hope in. And this is our prayer this morning, that his name be heard, his message be spread, and that every single heart can receive him and his hope. Amen, amen. And God, would you prepare our hearts this morning to receive what you have to say to us? Brothers and sisters, please be seated.
The time was August 2011, exactly 10 summers ago. I have the privilege to serve in the youth summer camp at Hope BC. Like many youth camps, we have worship time, we have message time, we have campfire, and we have lots of fun time. When I look back at the camp, the most unforgettable moment was the second evening, after the speaker delivered a challenging message about overcoming temptation. The campers were invited to do something. A few co-workers, youth worker and I, were stationed outdoor, under the starry sky at the grass field outside. After the campers, who were mainly college and university students, were invited to come to one of the youth workers, of the same gender, obviously, they would share their struggles in overcoming temptation, and we'll pray for them. Each of them will pray for them one by one, name by name. And you can imagine, actually, it was a heavy night. Under the starry sky, I had the opportunity of listening to many genuine sharing. Many brothers share about their struggles, and almost everyone shared their struggles in sexual purity. And at that evening, my feelings were mixed. On one hand, I was thankful that many young men took the courage to share about their struggle. Finally, they found a safe place at Hope BC that they can share and being prayed for. But on the other hand, I was sad, really sad. After listening to many of their sharing, I was sad about the fact that so many are a bright young Christian, bright young men. They are active Christians, they are serving in their church, but they were also carrying a lot of burdens and struggles in the Christian journey. While they all believe in God, but it seems that they live as if God is not around in their struggles against sin. Is there a way out? Is there a way out? Welcome to part two of the Christian Atheist series. According to our definition from last week, Christian atheist is someone who claims to believe in God, but live as if he doesn't exist. To claim to believe in God, but live as if he does not exist. Last week, Pastor Carson talked about even when we claim to be Christian, we still pursue happiness at any cost. He shared about which machine we want to plug in. Do we want to plug into Christ, the true vine, and receive true joy? Or do we want to plug into the world and experience only temporary happiness? Now, today, this morning, let's look at ourselves deeper within. When we call ourselves Christian, yet we keep on sinning. When we believe in God, how come we continue to indulge in sin? But perhaps some of us might think, sin? Nah, that is something foreign to me. I don't sin. Or at least my sins are not a big deal. My actions may be borderline bad, but it is hurting no one. After all, it is just a white lie. After all, it is just one drink too much and I got drunk. After all, it is nothing big. There's no consequence. And besides, it's all in private. No one knows. It's all kept in the dark. On the surface, it is still going on to seem like I'm a good Christian, I still go to church, I still profess that I'm a Christian and I follow Christ. And it should be okay that my belief and my actions may be different from time to time because I'm only human, right? And besides, I should be allowed to enjoy myself sometime if it hurts no one, right? And didn't God say somewhere in the Bible that I have the freedom to choose what I want to do? I think it should be fine since I go to church, I say I'm a Christian, I appear to be a Christian, I pray before meals. And at the same time, I want to choose what I want to do. I want to have the best of both worlds. The best of both worlds. But, brothers and sisters, I want to ask you, is it really possible? Can you really have the best of both worlds? The term best of both worlds implies that you can enjoy the benefits of both sides with no consequence. However, being a Christian and enjoying sinful pleasure is mutually exclusive. It is like a coin toss. When you flip it up and it comes down, there are only heads or tails. There's no middle where both sides are up. One side will be facing the light upward. The other side will be downward, facing the darkness. This is what the Bible said as well about being a Christian and sinning. Then the truth is that we cannot have both at the same time. We cannot have both at the same time. But you may ask, why not? Why can't we have both at the same time? Let us turn to the Bible, 1 John chapter 1, the apostle shared about that. This is a message we have heard for him and proclaim to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. In verse 5, light is the word that the apostle John used to describe God. Why did John choose to use the word light? Because light allows and sustain life. Because light makes life more pleasant and safer than living in darkness. Using light and darkness, John is showing that God and sin cannot coexist. Where there's light, there's no darkness. Where there's darkness, there's no light. When we walk into a room at night and turn on the light, where does the darkness go? It goes away. The reason why John used the word light is not just because of what it represents. Actually, it is also in reference to John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Jesus said, he is the light of the world. Jesus is light. That light represents goodness, life, and purity. John uses light as an example to show that we are in fellowship with God. And that darkness means that to be disconnected from God, to be away from God, to be in sin. And since God and sin are mutually exclusive and cannot coexist together, then it is hypocritical to say that I'm a Christian and I'm in fellowship with Jesus, yet I still keep on sinning. And let's look further at what John is saying. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. In verse 6 here, John tells us that it's not possible to enjoy the best of both worlds. He said that if we say that we have fellowship with Jesus while we walk in darkness, we are lying and do not practice truth. What does it mean when he say walk in darkness? It refers to the way that one lives and behaves. Therefore, when John talks about walking in darkness, he's referring to living in darkness. He's referring to living in sin. He's referring to keep on sinning. It is something that is done again and again. The nature of it is ongoing. something that goes on and on, not just once or twice or accidentally sinning. It is talking about willful sinning, knowing that something is wrong, yet you continue to do it again, again, and again. But perhaps you may ask, why do people willfully sin? The first reason is that I want it now mindset. I want it now. For example, when a teenager decides to shoplift at one of the huge company, Hudson Bay or Best Buy, why does he do that? It's not because he has no money, not because he's poor. It's not because he cannot afford it. It's because he wants it, and he wants it now. And it is the want of instant gratification that causes us to sin and to commit a willful sin. The thought of, I want it, and I want it now, regardless of the consequence. This is why we willfully sin, because I want it now. The second reason is that everyone is doing it, so I'm going to do it as well. In this society, where certain things are normalized, and things that are considered to be sin, is something that everyone is doing. I choose to do it too. The third reason is that I don't think that I will get caught. I don't think that I will get caught. Sometimes when we choose to keep on sinning, we think that our sin will not get caught. Plus, I'm not doing any harm to anyone, and I'm not hurting anyone. These three reasons are what John referred to as walk in darkness. To keep on sinning, to sin willfully. These three reasons are why people choose to keep on sinning. Just as how light and darkness cannot coexist, God and sin are mutually exclusive. And because of that, you and I have to make a choice. Because darkness cannot have light, you and I have to make a choice. And because of God does not exist with sin, you and I have to make a choice. Now that we know that light and darkness cannot happen at the same time, so what is the consequence? I am still a child of God, right? He won't revoke His gift of salvation from me, correct? Besides, God is of full grace and mercy, correct? He will forgive me and I can still stay. But, dear brother and sister, the truth is that even if God is full of grace and mercy, you and I must still make a choice. And this is what John tells us in 1 John chapter 3. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that He appears in order to take away sins, and in Him there's no sin. No one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen Him or know Him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who does right is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the work of the devil. In this passage, John is telling us that we should not be sinning, and that those who sin are not of God, and those of God do not practice sinning. He says that as a child of God, we should not be sinning. That means that we should be in the light with God. It means that as a child of God, we purify ourselves, we keep ourselves pure. As a child of God, we are not casual in His presence. We keep the law and not be lawless. Now, I want to bring to your attention the term that John was using to describe us. He used the term, dear children. The concept of children and family is strong in this passage. Right now, I want you to imagine that a child in poverty is adopted into a new family. When a child is adopted into a new family,
everything changes for the child, right? Instead of growing up in poverty, the child is provided with every need as they grow up. Instead of growing up in a home of abuse, the child is surrounded with love. Instead of living off the street, the child is given a chance at a healthy future, a chance at schooling. And around us, there are encouraging stories when the child's life is changed with adoption. Now, keep that image in mind and apply it to our spiritual life. When we are baptized into the family of God, it is the same as adoption. God, as our Father, has given us the gift of entering His family. And now we have the title, the identity that we are the children of God. With this identity, it means that our actions reflect our Father we now have in heaven. When we claim to be a child of God, we will not be walking in darkness. Sometimes we fail to walk in the light because we have gotten comfortable in the darkness. We know it is bad. We know that it falls short of God's standard. Some sins might even have become acceptable in our eyes. That might happen over time, especially to what ongoing struggles that never seem to go away. We simply give up and stop trying to walk in the light, and we continue the sin. Ongoing struggle against sin can be tiresome, and apparent lack of progress can be disheartening. It may seem easy to stop dealing with it and allow that part of darkness to remain in our life. But brothers and sisters, we cannot have sin in our life. We need to stop sinning and be that child of God. So what can we do now? I know that I'm a child of God and I need to be in the light of God, but there is still darkness in my life. What can we do? Let me point to you two directions. The first thing we need to do is confess. If we confess our sin, 1 John chapter 1 said, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John, this is a really precious promise. And the German theologian Bonhoeffer, in his book Life Together, also talked about how do we deal with sin. We need to confess. He said, sin demands to have a man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more destructive will be the power of sin over him, and the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous is his isolation. In confession, the light of the gospel breaks into the darkness and seclusion of the heart. The sin must be brought into the light. The sin must be brought into the light. If we keep our sin in darkness, we will keep on committing it time and time again. But to walk in the light is to allow our whole life to be exposed by the light. Leave nothing in the dark, to have no secret sin, to not become comfortable with sins. We may be comforted by God's forgiveness, but we should not become complacent. Bonhoeffer tells us that in confession, the light of the gospel breaks into the darkness. Sin must be brought into the light. The unexpressed must be openly spoken and acknowledged. All that is secret and hidden is made manifest. Going back, my story about the youth camp in Hope, BC. For those campers who took a step forward, they experienced the significance of confession and being forgiven. Even though we are still worshiping online at this moment, I would like to encourage you to take the initiative and get connected with one of the pastors at Koinonia. Besides praying for people who are ill physically, we are more than willing to listen to your struggles, praying for you and keep you accountable. Let the light of God shine on that dark corner in our heart. The second thing we need to do is to renounce. Renounce means to give up, to refuse to follow or obey. We need to renounce. Renouncing sin, renouncing the hold that sin is on us. The idea is that we decide to deliberately walk away from darkness and walk into the light. We renounce the ways of sin that draw us from God. And we express that we want to distance ourselves from the devil. We no longer want to walk in darkness, but to be a child of God, to be in fellowship with Jesus in the light. We express that we do not want to lead a life in the domain of the devil and oppose God. As we conclude this message, let's think of the dark corners in our life that has yet to be see light in our life. And let me now invite you to stand and let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I run to you at this hour. Lord, I cling to your promise that if we confess our sins, you are faithful, you are just, you will forgive us our sins, you will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, I confess that I have been offering myself over to sin. And now I renounce my sin. I renounce the ways I have presented my thoughts to sin, my relationship to sin, my sexuality to sin. And now I present my life to Jesus. I sanctify my thought to Jesus. I sanctify my relationship to Jesus. I sanctify my sexuality to Jesus Christ. I renounce every way I have given myself over to sin. I dedicate and I consecrate my life to the rules of Jesus Christ, to be His and His alone. May your blood cover my sins and cleanse me. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. As we conclude our worship, let me encourage you to support and participate the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. And now, let's continue to stand for benediction. And let me bless you with the blessing from the book of Jude. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of His glory with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all times and now and forever. Amen. That concludes our worship this morning. We'll see you next week.